good evening.
It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fred, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
Evening. You already know, yes, this is the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran, and we are back. Yes, it is Season 7, Game 6. I want you to want me to. So we're going to get into this tonight. Listen, I'm just so excited. We want to thank all of our Marriage Playbook listening family. We want to thank everyone for your prayers, your love continually. Remember, you can always go to the Marriage Playbook at gmail.com, leave questions or comments, even some encouraging words. We receive that also. If you're looking for prayer requests, you can also go to there as well. Go like us on Facebook. That's the Marriage Playbook. We're Coaches and Eric and Fran. Then also, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media, and you can log.
Good evening. It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fran. It's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Playbook.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years. With the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries, the Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic. Well, okay. Yes, we are here. Yes, we're here. Another Monday. Oh, with Coaches Eric and Fran. This is the Marriage Playbook. This is Season 7, Game 4. Yes, we are so excited. I'm telling you, after getting over the holidays with the turkey and the stuffing and the loved ones and everyone running around and the video games and the football and the, all of the good stuff that comes, the most blessed thing is that the Lord...
Good evening. It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fred. It's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So
let's
get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
Evening. You already know, yes, this is the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran, and we are back. Yes, it is Season 7, Game 6. I want you to want me to. So we're going to get into this tonight. Listen, I'm just so excited. We want to thank all of our Marriage Playbook listening family. We want to thank everyone for your prayers, your love continually. Remember, you can always go to themarriageplaybook@gmail.com, leave questions or comments, even some encouraging words. We receive that also. If you're looking for prayer requests, you can also go to there as well. Go like us on Facebook. That's The Marriage Playbook. We're coaches and Eric and Fran. Then also, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media, and you can log onto any computer or any mobile device, and you can tune into the show and go listen to some old shows that were recorded previously in the past. We actually celebrated 2 years with the Marriage Playbook on November the 21st. So we are so excited that it's nothing but the hand of God who is keeping us and instructing us, and we pray that what we're doing, that it's being a blessing to you. So, look, we're getting ready to this show. How you doing today, Coach Eric?
Just capital and blessed. Okay, another thing, too, I want to add, if you go on the email, why don't you send us a topic here and there? Okay, send us something that you would like to discuss, or something, a little thing that you might want to talk about or want some information about, or just give us something that we can talk about, something, because you know, we're not doing this thing by ourselves. We're in the kingdom of God, so we can use some assistance with even the contents of the show. So when I was thinking about the content for this show, I want you to want me to. What I was thinking about is sometimes you might discover in your marriage that your relationship might seem a bit one-sided, or you may feel that way. Or somebody might be selfish, you know, on someone's part. Everyone who wants to be loved and respected, you know, they want that love reciprocated. I think we did a show about reciprocated love at one point. So we're back on topic again, okay? Because you may endure a relationship where you're always giving with very little thing coming back. And who wants to be in a relationship like that? Okay, so we got to pay close attention to how we treat each other in a marital relationship. So this topic, I want you to want me to. Okay, we're going to address this from various angles. Okay, so this is Season 7, Game 6. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to get right back into this topic on the Marriage Playbook.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills. Over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
This is your girl, Shell T. Shell T's Comedy Corner. Life can laugh at. Real life you can laugh at.
We need some real life, because this morning, I'm tripping out this morning, because my kid's driving me crazy. Absolutely batty today.
Yeah, see, and I am with you. I think that every parent in America right now is probably with you, only if their children are...
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the Hand of Creative Design.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, you know what it is. Marriage Playbook, Season 7, Game 6. I want you to want me too. Our first segment is called Love, Love Participates. Love is a process in marriage that can't be done from the sideline. You got to be in the game here. We can't take it for granted. By it means the preference and by the intimacy of love in marriage. We can't take it for granted. Intimacy and preference in marriage. Preferring your spouse. Being intimate with your spouse. Not just sex. Just intimacy. Time. Quite simply, you don't want to make your wife feel undesirable. No woman wants to feel undesirable. You know, it's a billion-dollar industry where women do things with their hair, their nails, their clothing, so that they can feel desirable. Now, why would a woman give her life to a man, and then that same man that she gave her whole life to makes her feel undesirable?
You're absolutely right, because every woman wants to feel desirable. You hit that, Coach Eric. But I do also believe that men want to be loved also. They want to be shown appreciation. I was thinking about when you were talking to Coach Eric about, I thought about some movies that I had watched, and I thought about how the father would come in, get his newspaper, sit down, put his feet up. Now, that's something the father may have done, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it shouldn't be such a regimen. It's 20 years later, and then that's all you do. And so then the wife settle into that. And then a lot of times it's because spouses aren't communicating and saying, this is how I feel, you know. And then you got some people that don't mind that that's where the relationship is, and that's what they're going to take from that individual, and that's it. And, you know, as children of the kingdom, it's a lot of things that were done of old, or a lot of things that may have taken place, not necessarily that it was wrong, because everyone's marriage is different. But if you want your marriage to survive and thrive, not just survive, because sometimes to me I find that a lot of marriage is just surviving, but it's not thriving, it's not enjoyable. You know, you get around a group of friends and family, and you can feel the tension coming off of both parties, you know. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about loving one another. And listen, we ain't talking about you got to be slobbing over everybody and showing your affection. I mean, if that's who you are in front of everyone, then that's fine. But what I'm saying is people can feel when the marriage is having problems, when you guys come in the room together, you know, and now everyone don't know what's going on, and that's fine, but now everybody's uncomfortable to be around you because, you know, you can feel that the love is not there. You can feel that it's tension there. So what we're saying is, you know, learn to appreciate one another even the more. I think I've discussed this before in a previous segment or previous show, how until I knew, and not that I didn't appreciate my husband, but when it looked like he was about to lose his life, it made me appreciate him even the more. It made me look at those times where, you know what, I wasn't appreciating him enough right there. I need to appreciate him some more. I need to tell him I love him every day and give him a kiss every day, because guess what? That's the thing that we're going to have to live with when it's all over with. If you both don't leave together or one spouse leave, you don't want to have the regrets that you didn't spend time, that you didn't love that person, that you didn't kiss on them and love on them and be intimate and go places and travel and take vacations. You know, you don't want to have that regret.
Coach Fran said earlier about there being some sort of stress in a relationship or a feeling of uncomfortability because you may be having problems in your marriage. I want to speak to something that's a little more common, okay, because some things don't show. Okay, some problems in marriage happens and it don't show. And what I'm referring to is when you take someone for granted. sometimes that doesn't show. Now, the people involved in the relationship, participating in the relationship, they understand. One person may understand it, but it really goes unnoticed with people because this is something that happens in the home. Now, this is a common thing with most men. We get settled in real quickly to a routine. We expect things from our wives. We expect to be comforted when we need it. We expect a plate of food when we get home. We expect them to help us remember stuff. We expect them to manage the children. We expect them to have or give us sex when we want it. And they do all this because they love us, and God loves us because he made the woman for the man. So husbands out there, we must make a concerted effort to not take our wives for granted. Make an effort to not always be watching the game. That's a big thing with me. I like to watch the game, and sometimes my wife give me a look like you watching another game, and I get into the same discussion with her like, you know it's football season, right? Because when football season's over, I can't watch any games, so this is when I watch games because it's football season. I have this talk with her every Sunday and sometimes on Saturday. Is you watching another game? I'm like, this is what time the games come on. It's football season. What do you want me to do? I would watch it in February, but the season will be over. Okay, so these are the discussions that we have. So you don't want to get caught in this routine of watching the game, taking your wife for granted, getting all caught up, you know, and don't spend any time with your wife. Sometimes you might want to turn to something that you both can enjoy because now y'all spending time together. Because when you're watching what you want to watch, you know. By the way, I want to mention this since we brought this up. I remember before I married my wife, when I used to visit her on Sundays after church, I would sit down at her brother's house. That's where she lived with her brother. And I would watch the game, and she would just bring me food, and she would not complain. She'd bring me juice, water, food, whatever I need, and I was comfortable watching the game. Okay? Now, once we got married, she has a problem with me watching football. I don't understand what happened between that time and now. I don't know what happened, what changed, because she never complained about it until we got married.
It's time for me to get the mic. Wait a minute. He wouldn't give me the mic back, y'all. No, my thing is, even during that time, yes, he watched the games. Yes, he watched football. But I didn't know because he didn't do that. He did watch football, and then we watched the movie together. I don't never remember him watching three or four games all the way back to back. And here it is midnight now, you know? So there wasn't no, we can watch a movie together. It was none of that. And then, listen, I'm ready to go to bed now, you know. So I'm saying, you watching another game far as, man, these games is taking up a lot of time. Like, when is this going to be? And I'll look up, and it'll be 9 o'clock. Then I'll look up, it's 11, and here another game done came on. I'm like, well, wait a minute. So this is going to be for the rest of the night? I don't mind football, but 3, 4, 5 games back-to-back or all day long, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to spend some time. I want to tell you what happened in my day, tell you what happened, you know, on my way home, you know, but I got to wait because you know you can't interrupt them when football is on. You can't even interrupt them during the commercials because they're getting ready for the next when it comes back on. So it's a whole football process, okay? And I'm still getting used to it. You know, football was his life, and that's the thing that I want to bring up. Each individual, you husband and wife, y'all have different things that you love to do. You know, so that's the other thing, too. You do have to appreciate what that person like. It can't, you can't be selfish. You can't just say, okay, I don't want you to do it at all, because then that's just being selfish. If that's a part of that person's life, you don't want to just take that away, you know, and vice versa. You don't want that to be so much of your life that you don't see that your wife wants to spend time or your husband wants to spend time with you.
All right, now we're having an argument on the air about football. All right. Here you go. How you like that, Coach Eric and Coach Fran? We arguing on the air about football. All right. Now, listen. All right. Not for nothing. To be fair, I want to be fair about this. To be fair about it, okay, when we were just dating, I couldn't stay over a house all night long. Okay? I could just stay for a little while, then I went home. So now that we start living together, now that, as a married couple, now guess what? You get to see me watch game number two, game number three, game number four. All right? So not for nothing, it does get long, okay? It goes all the way to about 11 o'clock at night. Okay. So let's get back to the show. Oh, my God. Where I stop off? All right, do or say things to make her feel special. This is important. Every wife should feel loved and desired by their husband. Correct that by saying every wife should be loved and desired by their husband. What woman does not want to be wanted? This is the premise of the show. I want you to want me too. So men should not be zoned out on their jobs. Not just the ball or the ball game. Shouldn't be zoned out on their job, hanging too long with the fellas, particularly you married, or any hobby that detracts from being with their wives. Tell your wife you love her and show her by doing some things that is strictly for her. And you know what they are because these are the things you did when you were winning the affection of your wife. So go back to that. All right, every now and then, go back to that. Just not every day, right? So a man, on the other hand, needs the assurance of his wife. It speaks to his manhood, his ego. Just like a peacock, a man desires the attention of the opposite sex and will do anything to get that attention. So when they get married, you know, and this goes both ways, if a man liked attention from women, now he got one woman. Okay, he can't get attention from other women anymore. He can only get attention from you now, should. So now you got to make sure that you give him that attention. You can't possibly give him the attention of 1,000 women, but you can give him your attention, and that's going to mean a lot to him. So in this case, the wife, a woman can ill afford to make her husband feel undesired. A man not only needs to feel wanted, he wants to feel needed. I'm going to say that again. A man not only needs to feel wanted, he wants to feel needed. It's about purpose. When a man loves a woman, he will do anything to please her. He'll die to please her. So he needs to feel needed.
So, ladies, that means, you know, you can't have this, let me just put it this way. There's nothing wrong with you having a strong mind. There's nothing wrong with you having a strong character. There's nothing wrong with you being able to be self-sufficient or being able to do things. But once you become married, your husband now is looking for you to have him do things, you know. Have him, if you walk around with this attitude, oh, I got it, I know how to do it, and it's always about you trying to now be in competition to show him to how strong you are and how you can handle it, you take actually the responsibility from the man out of his hand that he is supposed to do, and not only that he's supposed to, but he's willing and desiring to do. You know, the position God put him in, not only to protect and to provide and to do things, but to be the man over the house. And I see so often that women get this mentality, or we have been so adapted to the culture of the world and not the culture of the kingdom that we feel like we got to do it all. Oh, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. We got to understand also, too, that even when the man do something, it may not be the way you would do it. So you don't go behind him and correct him and now you're doing it your way. No, you know. So we have to understand that we take the responsibility from the man when we do that. And I see that a lot. I see it a lot, you know, and it's begin to be you're not grateful, you're not appreciative to even his effort and how he tried. And that can really put a damper on somebody's spirit. And it would be the same vice versa. If God is calling a woman of God to come forth and to blossom and to bloom and to be what he would have her to be, start a business, whatever it might be, and then the husband is crushing her spirit, I mean, come on, you know. This is not the love and this is not the care that God has placed us in both each other's lives that we supposed to be responding or doing this to one another. So, you know, my prayer always for every marriage, and when we do this marriage playbook, you know, that we begin to start looking at our spouses and really looking at them through the eyes of God, and why God even allowed this person to be in your life. Why is this person in my life? Show that love. Show that respect. You know, let them be who God created them to be. I said this one time, and this woman just looked at me, and she was going on and on and on about her husband, and I just was looking at her, and it was nobody but the Holy Spirit that gave me this. And I said, you know where we go wrong? We try to recreate somebody God has already created. And that's selfish, and it's wrong for us to try to recreate our spouses. God already created them. Yes, it may be some areas in their life that may need to be tweaked and developed and mature and things like that. But just to try to change a person's whole personality and make them be how you are or how you like things, that's wrong. And you can find yourself in a whole lot of problems like that when you address issues like that, or you address your spouse like that. And then that's all they see from you. So they're not getting encouragement. They're not getting love. They're not getting strength, you know, but they're constantly you showing them that, oh, I can do it. I got it. You know, I'm a woman. I can handle it, you know. And we're so quick to say that a lot of times because we were already hurt. We probably never had a father, so we had to be strong. We probably were single mothers. I understand all of this. I'm telling you from experience. The Lord had to show me that you're going to have to change your mindset, because your mind is not supposed. God never created a woman to be a single person or a single parent or a single wife. No, God created the entire household, the husband, the wife, the children, so it can operate and function correctly. And so coming from a single parent home, then being a single parent, it actually made me think that this is the way it was supposed to be. And that's not how God designed it. So when God began to bless me, he blessed me with Coach Eric, it showed me the response. All that weight I was carrying was not my weight. God never designed for me to carry all that weight. That was a man's responsibility. Can women do what men can do? Yes, they can. But guess what? Should you is a whole nother question.
And why should you? I mean, because you did not get married to show your husband how independent you are. That's not why you got married. You got married, so now y'all can depend on each other. Okay, now we got some help. You ever realize why successful female celebrities don't stay in marriages long? And that happens a lot of the time because the husbands that they're married to, they lose their purpose when you got a woman who is successful and in power, because they have a publicist, they got assistants, they got all these people catering to them and doing things for them, and then the man is sitting back there feeling very unneeded because she doesn't need him to provide for her because she's wealthy. She doesn't need her to get him this or get him that because she probably have people working for her to do these things. So it takes away a man's purpose. It's crushing for a man to think that his wife doesn't want him or he's not needed. Okay? So what we're speaking to here is a wife or either a husband who is either selfish or unloving as to make their husband or their wife feel or be unwanted. To be unwanted. What brings us to our next segment called Don't Play This Game.
That's right.
Don't Play This Game. And I'll have that coming right back to you when we come back with the Marriage Playbook.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship, prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-7000. 3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Okay, so look, right before we go into this next segment, I know Coach Eric is ready to go into that. I wanted to go into the playbook right quick, which we know is the Holy Scriptures here in Proverbs 14:1. I want to read the King James Version, then I want to read another of the New News Translation. But the King James Version says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." And then on the Good News Translation says, "Homes are made by the wisdom of women, but are destroyed by foolishness." You know, we got to begin to know as women what is foolish and what is not. And sometimes it's a lot of foolish thinking, a lot of foolish things we may do. It's going to take us right into our segment. It's a lot of foolish games we play, and it actually makes the situation, it makes the marriage even worse. You know, a wise woman, for one, is going to seek God, going to listen to God's counsel for every situation that's going on in the marriage, so we'll be able to give a solid, clear answer, and then God also gives us strategic strategies, you know. And so this is who we now rely on when marriages are in trouble or something is wrong. Even if your husband is doing something you don't like, God has given women, you know, the Bible says that he's praying for the praying and cunning women. I mean, women, all we have to do is go before God concerning the situation with our household, and God will lay that thing right on the man's heart. And before you know it, that thing is turned around, but God is looking at our response and our obedience to how we even deal with the husband. So I'm telling you, we can't be foolish. We have to be wise. You know, we'll say, oh, we ain't talking about even the physical. That's why I was telling you all spiritual. I'm not talking about you going out and getting a degree and working this big corporate job and bringing home $100,000 a year, because anybody can do that in your house. You still can do foolish things and your house can fall down. But I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from God. That's what the scripture talking about. Wisdom comes from God, you know, and knowledge. I mean, we can look up knowledge and study knowledge, but I'm talking about the true knowledge of God's word, how to handle situations, comes from the word of God. So we want God's wisdom. We want God's knowledge, how to support our husbands, how to pray for them, how to build them up, because they go through enough in everyday life society. And then it's, God forbid, on you don't even know the secrets or the stories or the testimonies that they didn't have even opened and shared yet of what they experienced in their childhood. So we as women got to be wise. We got to be very, very wise. Amen. And keep our husbands covered.
All right. After you hear the word of God, you say amen. Okay, this is Season 7, Game 6. I want you to want me to. Look, we started off the program talking about participating in the marriage. That is, you know, not neglecting or taking for granted your spouse. Okay, that's a rather innocent problem that can be adjusted by you just paying more attention. But this second segment, don't play this. We're going into a darker and more deliberate place. All right, that is using disinterest or indifference as a means of control in order to exercise your will in your relationship. And this is manipulation.
Right, exactly.
This is manipulation. Let's define this word, manipulation, so that you would know what we're talking about. It's handle or control in a skillful influence. Handling someone or controlling someone in a skillful influence. Trying to impose your will, your influence on someone. And this is evil. Don't play this game. That's not love, because love is not evil. Why? What is love? God is love. And God is good, not evil. So don't play with the emotions of the one that you're supposed to be loving.
And you have to be careful. We as women and men also, because I know people say, well, why is she just talking about women? But no, I'm talking about women and men. Because just like you have witches, you have warlocks. And what you got to be careful is when you start messing with manipulation and trying to control people, not only that it's a lie and it's deceptive, but it's also witchcraft. It's witchcraft to try to mess with someone's intellect, emotions and all of that, and try to get them to do the thing that you want them to do, especially when you know they don't want to. That's witchcraft, you know. And we do it all the time when it's, oh, babe, can I buy these shoes? If he say no, we don't have it right now. So now you want to put on something sexy and talk to him while you in bed just so you can get what you want, you know. You see, we over here, right? You know, and I'm not talking about you having intimacy and intercourse and things like that with your husband. You're having romantic time. But that's sincerely from the heart. I'm talking about don't be doing it just to get what you want. That's wrong, because, see, God knows the intent of the heart of man. And if your intent is to change their mind, to make them do something, first of all, you know we can't afford. You can't afford that. You can't afford a pair of $1,000 shoes right now. So you can't afford that, you know. If you can't afford that car, that extra car note, you know, don't be sitting in the corner crying and moping around and tongue all, you know, and face all frammed up because you desire this thing that you want. No, you can't have that. You know, if your husband is saying, listen, no, this is what we're going to do and this is what we're not going to do, you know, you kind of learn how to. Sometimes I feel like we as people don't know how to follow. We don't know how to follow, and we don't know how to see things through. If it ain't our way, we don't want to do it at all. That's what I'm saying, you know. And, yes, it may be some things that you can compromise on, but for the safety of the household, if the man of God is saying this is the direction that God is taking us in, then this is the thing that you have to really be careful that you're not trying to, because first of all, if something happens, it's going to happen to the whole household, you know? It's going to happen to the whole household, so you got to be careful with that. If it go wrong, when it go wrong.
All right. Okay, so don't manipulate by moping and crying. Now, if you want to manipulate with sex, if you got to manipulate, that's the best way to do it.
No. No manipulation.
All right. No manipulation. All right, having a little fun here.
Yes.
Okay, so don't play with the emotions of the one that you're supposed to love. Now, if you haven't decided to love your spouse, it is more honorable for you to leave them. I mean, because that's why you got married. Okay, so look, if you haven't decided to love someone, it's more honorable for you to leave that person alone. Did you know that love is a decision?
Yeah.
You don't lose your heart. You decide to give your heart.
Right.
You don't lose it. I didn't lose my heart to my wife. I gave my heart to my wife. It's different. John 3:16 said God so loved the world that he did what? He gave.
Yeah.
He gave because he loved. He gave his only begotten son. Now, I'm paraphrasing, right, just to make a point. Just by believing, you gain life. Just by believing, we gain life. Just by believing on Christ, we gain life from it. We make lives with people through the decisions to love them, and just by believing in this individual, we commit ourselves. I believed in my wife, so I committed myself because I believed in her. It is the epitome of desire, love, and trust. All these components are necessary, but it ends and it begins with God. Which brings us to our last and final segment. Maybe moving fast today. Must be the Christmas holiday. All right, the last segment. How wanting God helps us. Remember the topic, I want you to want me too? Well, we're going to finish off the show by talking about how wanting God, us, in the marriage playbook, which is the Holy Bible, Psalms 27:4, the Bible says, one thing have I desired of the Lord? That will I seek after. That will I seek after. That will I seek after. We got to be cautious that we're not seekers of approval, of man's approval, but seekers of God's approval. He said, one thing I desire, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You see, we like to ask God for a husband or for a wife because this is what we think we want. And often we want things and don't really want God. We want the things, but we don't want God. So naturally speaking, does a child who doesn't love their father come to receive a gift from the father who they do not love? Why do we want things from God without wanting God? This is how wanting God helps us, because then we won't end up wanting something God does not approve of. So we get these wives, we get these husbands, and then we don't want them. And one of the reasons why we don't want them, because we don't understand what we want, because we don't have God first. So we put that thing first, and when that thing dissatisfies us or don't give us what we thought we wanted, now we don't want the thing no more. Now, Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 31st verse says this: therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? Now, it would be a curse to me to add or take away anything from the word of God. So as a point of discussion, allow me to say this. The 31st verse speaks to necessity. So when it comes to a mate, we view this as a need or a desire. So allow me to apply this scripture here. And if you want scripture backing that up, 1 Corinthians 7 chapter, the second part of the verse says, if thou be loose from a wife, seek not a wife. So what it actually says in the 33rd verse of Matthew 6 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added to you. See, we want the things, but then we don't want God. And then when the things let us down, we don't have anything. This is how wanting God helps us. So if we seek after God, then God will give us the things that we want. And one of the things we want is to be married. So let's not put the cart before the horse and get married before we get to know God.
I wanted to say, too, Coach Eric was talking about that. While he was talking, I did a couple things. I looked up extra two words. But the thing that I'm going to talk about now is when he talked about the person, how we want that person, and we don't know what it is that we want. And what I find a lot of times is we like one thing with that person, and we don't really care about anything else, or that our eyes don't want to be open to the other things of or who they are. So, you know, we see somebody, oh, girl, his eyes are so good looking, you know, oh, his eyes are so brown and hazelnut, you know, or hazel, you know, I say hazelnut. His eyes are hazel.
Well, that's where they get
his
the color
eyes,
hazel from,
right,
hazelnut.
But his eyes are his eyes all hazel, you know, but you don't see his character flaws, you know. Oh, girl, I love the way he smells. His cologne is just so good, but you don't see that he is an abuser, you know. So this is what we're talking about. The only way you're going to be able to know who this person really is, you're going to have to seek God. You're going to have to, you know, really seek God. Only God knows the intent and the heart of man. And so we got to stop looking on these outer. We look on the outer at the person, and then we don't really know who the person is. And so that's what I thought about when he said that. You know, sometimes we say, oh, he drive a nice car, but we don't know that he's selfish, you know. We don't know that he's disrespectful. We don't know that you're not supposed to be with that person, because we fall in love, or we want that one thing that we see of that person, and we don't see God for the rest. So I wanted to read this because I actually knew it had to be a difference between these two words. I looked at the word manipulation, and the word manipulation is the act of manipulating someone in a clever or unscrupulous way.
Unscrupulous.
You know? So that means not only is deliberate, not only that it's clever, but it's evil. And I said, okay, I just wanted to make sure so we can really, really understand what the difference is because I believe the word influence, I looked it up, the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. That means as wives, as husbands, we're supposed to have an influence of the good with our spouses. We're supposed to be able to pour into one another to bring the best out of each other in our character, in our behavior, in our development. So I needed to look that up because I don't want people, I did a show about a couple months ago about the words that we use. And the Bible says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. And a lot of times we're speaking death over our marriages when we use certain words, when we deal with each other a certain way. So I love to look up words to make sure, okay, and then I say, wow, I can't say that no more. You know, I said something to Coach Eric the other day, and he said, don't say that. That's not nice, you know. Now, to me, I was just playing, but, you know, if that's a word or that's something that I'm not supposed to say or it was offensive, you got to pay attention to that. Sometimes we say, oh, yeah, well, why are you getting all like that? Suck it up, you know. And we never consider that, you know what, I'm not going to say that no more. So I had to let him know, oh, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I'm not going to use that word no more, you know. So it's important what we say out our mouths. It really is.
Some of the things that we cover here in the Marriage Playbook is to inform those that are seeking to be married and inform those that are married now and are just dealing with the adjustment of being married.
Yeah.
All right, so we try to bring this information out that it be a blessing to you, that it help you in your smooth transition.
Right.
Okay, one of the things I do want to say, you know, and I mentioned that scripture in 1 Corinthians, you know, the Bible says if you are loose from a wife, don't seek one. In other words, if you're single, don't be seeking a wife. You know, now, having a wife or having a husband, that's not a bad thing. What we're saying is don't be obsessed over having a wife or a husband. Don't be obsessed over it.
Or not having one.
Yeah, or not have. Don't be obsessed in your relationship or whatever type of relationship you have. Don't be obsessed, okay? What's important is to get God.
Right.
To get God. What I try to give my wife and interject to my wife is God. What my wife gives me back is God. Okay, so now if we're giving each other God, everything in our marriage will be good. Why? Because God is good. All right? So don't be overly concerned and don't be anxious. Don't have anxieties over your relationship status. I'm going to do a show about relationship status according to social media in about 4 weeks. Okay? It's coming up in January, dealing with relationship status because we get that thing wrong. But getting back to what we're talking about, I digress. All right? Don't be so concerned over about what you have or what you don't have. The 32nd verse of that same chapter, Matthew 6, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, listen to this, knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Your heavenly Father know that you have need of all these things. So God knows whether you need a spouse or not. And God knows who your spouse is. Do you? I bet you don't. If you're married, you already do. But if you're single, you don't know who it is yet. Might not be that person you're dating right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're not sure. But God knows. So based on all the poor decisions many of us have made, I say the answer here is no, we don't know. We have no idea. That's why we need God. Now, I'll reiterate the 33rd verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these shall be added unto you. Let's go back in reverse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, comma, and here's the part right here, and his righteousness. And his righteousness. Here's the key here. And his righteousness, because this point of character is what makes us good candidates for marriage. His righteousness. If we're seeking after God's righteousness and we obtain his righteousness, that makes us righteous, and then we don't have the character issue or the character flaws, and that makes us a good candidate to be someone's husband, to be somebody's wife. Why? Because we got good godly character. So you see here, so wanting God will help us get what we want and need. This is why wanting God helps us. It gets us to a place to get what we want and need, and safely with God's help.
And I'm telling you, it's God's protection for our lives. You know, think about your own children if you have children, especially those who might have teenage children. Do you sit back and you watch? I mean, you can do as much as you can, but when they're disobedient, they don't want to listen to parents, especially now in the society we're living in, you know, and it's really, really hurtful for a parent to see a child constantly bumping their head, constantly not listening to what needs to be done, constantly don't want to obey the rules that's going to make them successful. Well, God feels the same way about us when we go about our everyday, daily lives, when we act like we don't need him, when he is truly the source. And we, like Coach Eric said, we make so many mistakes without him, you know. And I feel like once you have come to a place in your life, all the mistakes you have made, there's no way in the world that you're almost 40, you're almost 50, you're almost 60, and you're still making the same mistakes in life, you know. And so we don't want to leave a legacy of always making mistakes. I think we need to leave a legacy, start showing our children that if we trust and believe and depend on God, how better life would be for us. And that's the thing that we have to start doing again, back to walking in wisdom, you know. Somebody has to walk in wisdom in the household, you know, and someone is going to have to uphold and keep the banner raised, amen, until God deliver, heal, fix, whatever the situation may be for the other couple or for the marriage. Somebody got to be willing to stand, because I don't understand how we can stand for all the things in the world, but we will not stand for one another like we should. We won't stand for the household. You know, we just accept any and everything. We let the devil come in and just run rapid, you know. But listen, we get ready to go into a brand new year, and I'm telling you, all those broken pieces and broken areas and broken situations and all the things going on with your children or young people, I'm telling you, now is the time for us to stand up and take back, really take back what the enemy has stolen. Things we open the door and even let the enemy in. But because of our Father, his love for us, he has given us all power and authority. And those things that we suffer in, we don't have to suffer in no longer. And so I thank God for his love. I thank God for tonight's show. I pray that it was a blessing to you. Again, like I said, Coach Eric and I, we're still learning as we're doing this. We're just as amazed as probably anyone else, or more than anyone else, when the Lord allowed us to come on this air and just share a lot of these things we have experienced. Coach Eric and I experienced wanting to get a divorce after 2 years. Coach Eric and I experienced sickness in our marriage where he was almost ready to die and I just wanted to give up. You know, Coach Eric and I both experienced horrible, horrible relationships where we both were married in an abusive relationship. So when we come to you, we're coming to you with some of the things that the Lord has laid on our hearts, because marriages are really being challenged. You know, really, really being challenged. And for those who are not believers, don't know why they're fighting the way they're fighting. And for those who are married, don't understand why you're fighting. And all of it is because you were made and created in the image of God. The other thing is, God is the one who instituted marriage. So anything that looks like God, the devil does not like. Anything that looks like God or resembles God, he wants to destroy. So whether you're on the Lord's side or not, the enemy still has a target on your back. So I'm telling you now, choose God today. Choose him as your Lord and Savior. Know that we're praying for you. Know that we love you. We're lifting you up before the Lord constantly. Don't forget, if you have any questions, any concerns, if you even have comments, please go to the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran, the Marriage Playbook at gmail.com. Facebook is the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. Also, we're on Instagram. Leave us a message. We'll get right back to you. Also, if you have any topics that you would like to discuss,
We do not have to disclose who it is and where it came from, but your information can be valuable to someone else's life, and we would highly, highly, highly appreciate when you send it in. We thank you so much. Listen, if you're in the Philadelphia area, we would love for you to come visit us. I'm telling you, we get phenomenal teaching and training here at the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church, where our Dr. Bishop Joanne Dixon is the founder overseer of this phenomenal place where we serve, amen, our community. Also, listen, we got some phenomenal, phenomenal shows, PJC Media. I'm telling you, these people are wonderful. We have Dovetails, which comes on at Sunday with our girl Deborah. That's at 2:30 p.m. On Tuesdays, Right Stuff with Parker J. Cole. That's at 7 p.m. Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. That's at 8 p.m. on Friday evening. Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, we have Parker Cole Show. Also, our boy Craig Carlisle Show. That is Saturday at 3:30 p.m. And don't forget, you got it, the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran at 7 p.m. Look, we love you. We thank God for you. Yes, this was Season 7, Game 6. I want you to want me. So listen, love on one another. Show each other your love. And don't just do it because it's the holiday season. Do it all. Make actually this holiday season every season, you know. And it could be from the smallest thing to the greatest thing, but it doesn't take a lot to tell someone you love them. Tell the one that God has given you that you love them. Show them that you appreciate them. And so for that, we thank God for you. And we're about to go. And we love y'all. We talk to y'all on next Monday. This is the Marriage Playbook. Good night, y'all.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.